Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Tomorrow, we celebrate the great feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. What a mind. What a mind St. Thomas has. And I want to share a couple of his thoughts later on here in the program. He was a Dominican. He was brilliant. That's all I can say. He was brilliant. But he faced ecclesial opposition from those who feared that his thought went too far in the direction of pagan thought. But after his death, his works achieved great prominence. Of him, St. John Paul wrote, he could defend the radical newness introduced by revelation without ever demeaning the venture proper to reason. In other words, he could combine faith and reason perhaps better than anyone else has done up to this time. He could combine reason. He had a marvelous mind. But he could combine it with faith in a way that strengthens rather than brings into question. The monumental intellect, Thomas Aquinas. The first reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. That is Jesus. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds." And God did that enormously with Thomas Aquinas. "I'll put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds." Brothers and sisters, the mind and the heart have to come together that we can fully see what God is about. It isn't just the mind, and it isn't just the heart. It's the mind and the heart together. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds," so that we have the desire to follow, the desire to learn, the desire to give way to God's will. That's what we pray for. "You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The scepter of your power the Lord will stretch forth from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Yours is princely power in the day of your birth in holy splendor. Before the day star, like the dew, I have begotten you," the Christ. "The Lord is sworn and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Thomas Aquinas lived out his priesthood, searching for God and drawing us into that search, using his mind and his heart so fully for God. Read his life. Read a biography of Thomas Aquinas. It will be worth it. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into the boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this." Jesus loved to teach with parables, because they can stick in your mind, you know, you can work with them. "Hear this. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. When the sun rose, it was scorched. And it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. Some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he added, whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. And he answered them, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven. Whoa. See, there are many people, brothers and sisters, many people who hear the gospel, who hear the words of God, and just shut their minds to it. They act like they're listening, but they're really hypocrites. They shut their minds to the grace of God. They never receive, they hear the words, but they never open themselves to receive the grace that accompanies those words so that we can change and become more and more in conformity with God. Thomas Aquinas really wanted God. He wanted God's will, whatever it cost. Do you? Do I? I'm certainly more there than I used to be. I'm not perfectly there either. But how deep is your desire to seek his will and to follow it? How much does it occupy the front and center of your lives? It's that attitude and that spirit that makes the soil of your heart receptive to the truth that God's trying to, well, God is giving to you. We're trying to receive it. So God looks for the intent of the heart, brothers and sisters. You don't have to be brilliant like Thomas Aquinas. You just have to say, Lord, I want you and I want to follow you and I want my life to be more like yours. Teach me. Then he has the good soil to work with. Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? If you don't understand this, how will you understand any of the parables? They're just kind of clueless. So the sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes the word sown in them. Do you hear the word of God? And you say, ooh, that's important. Or you get a particular sense of God speaking to you and you say, oh, this is important. I mustn't forget this. But you walk out of there and the cares of this life or a temptation directly from Satan assails you and you totally forget what you had been inspired by. That's a work of the enemy. There are the ones sown on rocky ground who, when they hear the word of God, receive it at once with joy, but they have no roots, so they last only for a time. The roots are that I am in Christ, and I know I am, and I'm drawing all my nourishment, all my sustenance from him, not from me. Oh, I'm going to change my life. This word is true. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then we totally forget. And we're worn out, and we're tired, and we're cranky, and we're irritable. Do we go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me the refreshment I need to continue to serve you? This is real. But God never forces himself upon this. How many times have you heard me say that? God does not force himself upon us. He opens, he gives us the opportunity, he lays it at our feet, but we have free will to choose. There are the ones sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word, receive it at once with joy, but they have no roots, so they last only for a time. Daily reading of Scripture, frequent participation in the liturgy, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, time for prayer every day. That's what enables the soil to receive the seed of God's word and bear fruit. And you water it by the sacraments. You water it by good intentions. You water it by acts of charity. And then the seed begins to grow. And so when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Huh? Weren't you at church with us? Didn't you make a commitment with us? Oh, no, 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 no. That was just a momentary blip on the screen, so to speak. I don't know what I was thinking about. But no, 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 I don't make any commitment to the Lord. In other words, let me out of here. I don't want any part of what you think. How many people have turned away? When tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Oh, they'll come to prayer meetings or they'll come to certain events and they'll worship, etc. But they aren't really dealing with themselves. They're not making decisions to change their lives. We have to make decisions to cooperate with grace. It doesn't just happen. We have to engage the Lord, engage the power of his word. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. Sometimes we have all of these things working in us. No wonder we don't bear fruit. And so we have to say, Lord, what do you want me to go after first? Don't look at it as though it's daunting, because when you honestly put yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to start in one area, will you help me? He will. He will. Your part is to come before him every day. Your part is to repent when you fail. Your part is to read the scriptures every day. Your part is to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass as often as you can. Your part is to receive the sacrament of reconciliation as often as you need it to give you strength to follow on his path. And then, brothers and sisters, comes the glorious day when you begin to run. And it will come. It will come. Those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. I may read a scripture passage and I ask what people think, and they say, oh, that's interesting. You're not listening. You're not receiving. You're just making a comment. You're not really allowing the word to touch you. Somebody who's touched by the word could say, I don't understand that. Can you explain it more? Some people will say, I don't know. That sounds pretty hard to do. And it is by ourselves. But we say, oh, well, that's for holy people, not me. That's an excuse. What's your excuse for not following God, not obeying his word? Take a look at your life. Take a look at one area. Just pick up one area and say, okay, I know this is wrong, and what can I do about it? And then God will show you how to bring it before him every day in prayer and read the scripture that will help you to understand what God is about. And what you really want and why you're trying to turn away from him because you want something that God doesn't want you to have. He has something far better to give you. Come to him with open hands and watch how he begins to work in your life. A lot more to be said, but for now, God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.